Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the BT Powerhouse Podcast. As always, my name is Thomas Benditz. I am the manager and host of the podcast. Late night last night, so still waking up here and getting rolling on a Friday morning, early Friday morning. But lot of stuff to talk about. Big news. You know, really the event of the off season here, at least if you're a college basketball fan, I would say. I mean, the NBA draft is probably the biggest event once the season ends. If you're a college basketball fan, you know, watching the players sort of move to the next level, see where they fit, see what they can do. I'd say the NBA playoffs are bigger, but obviously, you know, it doesn't have as much of the college tie. But so, you know, first things first, NBA draft last night, big night. There's always a lot of excitement. It was kind of a interesting layout, I would say. I don't think it's good or bad or it means anything necessarily, but very international flavor to the draft if you did tune in. Certainly in the second round, which tends to be the tradition, I guess, but, you know, you have players from Croatia, Serbia, Germany, France, China. Chinese player back in, center, Wing Shilin, I guess. Don't know much about him, but the Grizzlies took him, and maybe he can step into that Yao Ming role, bring back some old memories. But let's dive into this action. Tons to talk about. To help break it down, we have Ryan Blevins, one of our writers here at BT Powerhouse. Ryan, how's it going?
Not bad, Thomas. Yourself?
Doing well. I apologize if I am slow of hearing today. Went to see GNR last night in Detroit. That was awesome. But the hearing is still pretty damaged. So
yeah, definitely. I heard it was a great show, by the way, but I saw all the trucks outside. I was actually at the Tigers game yesterday. Exciting finish for the Tigers yesterday. So swept the Mariners. So I'm a little behind also, but definitely hearing is probably not as impaired as yours is.
Certainly, yeah. It was a great show. I won't go on too long about them because I know this isn't a music podcast here, but just really fun, really cool to see. I was excited. Great crowd in Ford Field, which is a rarity when you consider the Lions play there. But
don't get me started.
Got to get my Lions shot in there. But let's move on. Let's jump into this NBA draft action. Tons to talk about today. Let's start with your overall impressions before we get into the Big Ten stuff. Did anything stand out to you? Was there anything that kind of surprised you? And certainly, you know, the first couple picks seemed like they were already locked in before draft night, but was there anything that stood out to you?
As the draft overall, obviously, like, they had set the record for international players, which is crazy. Somehow Thon Maker slipped into the top 10. I'm up here in Canada, and Thon Maker's a pretty big deal up here. But, I mean, that was a guy that we weren't even sure that he was going to be draft eligible, and not a lot of people have seen him play. So the fact that he got into the top 10, I was thinking, you know, bottom first, maybe even second. And, I don't know, that just surprised me. And, it was definitely a weird draft, an exciting draft. And, I'm excited to get talking about it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, before you got on, I was talking a little bit about how it had a very international flavor, which is good, bad, or different, you know, however you want to spin it. But there definitely were a lot of international players taken, which is kind of exciting. Certainly as we move into the Summer Olympics, which is probably a topic for another day, but it seems like the international basketball continues to improve. So that's kind of exciting. But jumping in here into the Big Ten, I believe 6 Big Ten players were drafted last night, two in the first round, 4 in the second round. Let's start with the first round guys. Let's start with, first off, you know, 6 players drafted, 2 in the first round, 4 in the second round. was that a good night for the Big Ten? Was it so-so? Any thoughts on the overall Big Ten performance?
Well, we kind of touched on this in our roundtable piece that went out before the draft. I know myself and you participated in that. I thought six was right around the number that the Big Ten was going to hit. I know you, if from what I recall, thought a little bit more. I don't think it was a bad night. Just like you said, it had a real international flavor to the draft. So, you know, that it was just kind of the trend of where the draft went. So I don't think it was a bad night, especially comparatively to some of the other conferences. And I think it was just about right on par with the talent level that was in the Big Ten this year and for the players that came out.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I don't think it was a bad night. I do think it was a little bit disappointing. And the reason I say that is because I think the Big Ten should have gotten more than two guys in the first round. To me, that's the thing, because I go on through this rant multiple times a year on this podcast, but you know, the difference between the first and the second round is just massive in the NBA. You know, you get a guaranteed deal in the first round. Almost, you know, 99% of the time, you're that team's biggest prospect coming in that year, which means they're going to have to invest resources in you. It's just the second round picks, more often than not, are just complete shots in the dark. So you know, they're meaningful. You know, it's nice to get picked. Some of those guys, you know, Draymond Green is a perfect example of a guy who made an impact. But more often than not, those are the guys who are in 3 years and then they're either overseas or in the D League. Not to talk them down or anything, but, you know, it's tough, you know.
Well, I mean, and the fact that you say that the Big Ten deserve more first-round players, I mean, I know we'll get into the second-round guys later, but realistically, I mean, it could easily just have been reversed to four guys in the first round and two in the second round. I mean, you look at Deonta Davis went right the first pick in the second round. And then personally, I thought Diamond Stone had the talent to go right at the end of that first round, especially when you look at the teams that picked down there and even look at the positions that were run down there. I mean, from 23 down, lots of centers and power forwards that went. So I thought, you know, he was talented enough to be a first-round pick. Same with A.J. Hammonds, another guy who went in the second round. So it just as easily could have been, you know, four and two rather than two and four.
Oh, yeah. I mean, perfect example of this is, you know, Damian Jones from Vanderbilt gets picked 30th by Golden State. I understand, you know, about NBA is different than college, but A.J. Hammonds destroyed him last year. It's just kind of funny. I understand that, you know, players project differently. You know, this happens all the time. I mean, Trey Burke was a National Player of the Year. He's a so-so player in the NBA now. Victor Oladipo, you know, outstanding college player, so-so. Well, he's good, but, you know, he's not an all-star, you know, mega talent.
We'll see what he does now with OKC. But, I think he's going to be a good fit, but
I understand it's different, but it just shocks me that somebody would watch those two guys, having watched a lot of games from both of them, and think Damian Jones is a better player.
Were stars.
Hammonds was just as good, if not better, than those guys, and to see him slide down to 46 to Dallas was. It's just kind of disappointing when you see guys in the same position getting picked above. You know, international guys, I understand because, frankly, you know, we as, you know, American or Canadian basketball fans don't see a ton of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they're not on TV, so.
No. Well,
but,
that's like what I was saying when you say position. I mean, you look at 23, the Celtics drafted a foreign center. You go down 25, the Clippers drafted a Bryce Johnson, a power forward. You can go down. I mean, almost, I'd say seven or eight of those guys going down are big men, right? And that's where Diamond Stone and A.J. Hammonds played. Those guys easily could have been first-round picks.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So, I mean, I guess the overall, you know, it's not a bad night. And I certainly think, you know, like Deonta Davis is going to make an NBA roster. There's no, like, he's not getting caught. But it's just one of those things, you know, like we were talking about a little earlier, is it's just teams they have to invest so much more if you're a first round pick. You're just, it's a different status. And I think it really helps your chances at not your first contract, but your second contract. And I think that's kind of a hit for guys like Stone and Hammonds to see him drift. I know Hammonds wasn't necessarily projected as a first round pick, but he was kind of on the borderline. So it's a little disappointing to see him drop. And we'll get to Davis in a little bit, but certainly to see him drop. But overall, I think it was an okay night for the Big Ten, but certainly could have been better, as we both were talking about. But with that, why don't we dive into some of the actual picks here? We'll start with the first guy off the draft board from the Big Ten, Denzel Valentine. He gets picked up by the Bulls. I believe you wrote a piece earlier this morning on Valentine. I'm not sure if it's posted to the site yet, but talking about how he kind of fits in the Bulls. What were your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I did finish that piece, you know, all of us working very hard over there to get all these pieces out on a very busy draft night. But, yeah, I like this pick. I actually think, not to say I called the pick, but in our round table, I listed off about two or three teams that I thought he was either, you know, the thing with Valentine is, he was so wildly projected where you saw some mock drafts that had him as a lottery pick, and you had some that had him going at the end of the first round and anywhere in between. So it was really interesting to see where he fell. And I thought 14 to the Bulls especially is a really good spot for him and a really good fit for the team. I mean, he's a very versatile player. And this is a team that just traded away their former MVP and their former star point guard. And, you know, things are kind of looking bleak for the Bulls. They didn't make the playoffs last year. So to draft a household name who's also a very talented player, but a guy who, you know, was AP Player of the Year, they're almost selling their fans hope, saying, listen, we have a versatile guard who has experience playing the small forward position. He's big. He's long. You know, he's a winner. You know, he played under Tom Izzo. They're selling their fans a lot of hope. They're saying, you know, we didn't win a lot last year. This guy did. This guy knows how to win. He has won. And he's going to fit well on this team, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too off track, you know, trying to break down the Bulls and, you know, what they're going to do or want to do with their roster. But, you know, I think shipping out Derrick Rose, getting some pieces back, I'm not sure where they want to go. And I think this is a pick kind of showing that they needed to help their backcourt a little bit. I think Valentine will fit in well. I think he has a high floor. There are certainly going to be concerns. I know myself and you were talking about it earlier this morning, but you know, how is he going to be able to defend at the next level against the more athletic and longer guards and forwards? Is he going to be able to get inside without that elite athleticism? There are going to be concerns, but you know, his court vision is excellent. He has an outside shot. You know, great passer. He can rebound. He's got some strength to him as well. So I think he'll fit in well. I'm not sure if he has the superstar NBA potential. I know everybody likes to link him with Draymond Green, but I'm not sure if I'm sold on that one. But
that's kind of a tricky comparison there. I mean, that's tricky just because, I mean, it's an easy comparison because they both went to Michigan State. They're both versatile players who play. I mean, I personally think Valentine's going to be a guard, but, you know, they both played a lot of forward at Michigan State. I mean, that's an easy comparison there. But as far as their games go as players, I don't see a great comparison there.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that Valentine couldn't be as good as Draymond Green, but just as they are as players, Draymond Green is an excellent defender. I know me and you have discrepancies on what type of defender Denzel Valentine is, regardless of that, just how they are as players, I don't see the connection there.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think the vast majority of the comparison is just because they both came out of East Lansing, you know, obviously. But you know, I think he has the tools to be a solid player. You know, there's a reason he was drafted in the NBA lottery. But you know, it's going to be tough, you know, because he doesn't have that raw skill set, I guess. And when I'm talking about that, just the athleticism and that that length you see from a lot of NBA guys. But, you know, he's worked his way up at Michigan State, so I assume he'll work hard over in Chicago as well. But it'll be interesting to watch him, how he fits there. But with that, let's move on to our next draft pick, which was kind of a surprise, at least for some. Michigan's Caris LeVert gets picked 20th after, for the vast majority of the time, being projected in the 40s, easily into the second round. What were your thoughts on this? You think it's a good pick? Obviously, he has injury concerns. And do you think he can turn into a star for the Nets?
Well, I mean, I certainly hope he could turn into a star for the Nets. He was a guy who looked really good in his sophomore season. And then the foot thing just really, really plagued him just throughout his entire career. Never really was the same player. But the Nets give up a lot. Well, I wouldn't say a ton. They give up Thaddeus Young to get him at 20. And the Nets doctor, I read something along the lines of the Nets doctor was the guy who cleared him to
mm-hmm. –
or I don't know if it was the guy who did his foot surgery, but he was the guy who medically cleared him. So there's that connection there that, you know, they almost had the inside scoop on what was going on with his foot. And, you know, the Nets were getting the information first. So clearly they feel comfortable with this pick. You know, 20 might have just been a reach because they, you know, this is purely speculation. But, you know, there could have been rumblings that somebody was going to scoop him at the end of the first round. You know, perhaps a team like Golden State or San Antonio, who had the last two picks, who don't need a player to, you know, impact their team right away. Might have taken LeVert, and that's why the Nets wanted to jump on him. The Nets certainly aren't in win-now mode anyway, so they can afford to wait on LeVert and, you know, let him get back up to game speed and make sure his foot's healthy, take it slow. Maybe LeVert spends some time in the D-League. Maybe he spends some time on the, you know, end of the bench, slowly accumulating minutes. But, I mean, if that foot is healthy, and I know LeVert went out, he published that piece on the Players Tribune, and he says, you know, he thinks it is. If it is, I mean, star potential there at 20. I wouldn't say a steal, but, I mean, before his foot injury, he was a guy who was, you know, seen as a lottery pick. So to get him at 20, if he can be the player that, you know, Michigan fans remember in his sophomore season, then I think it's a great pick for the Nets.
Yeah, I mean, we had Joseph Nardone from Today's Fast Break on the podcast, I want to say a week or a week and a half ago, and we were breaking down some of these prospects, and Caris LeVert was one of those guys where, you know, is his game perfect? No. But from an NBA projection standpoint, he is easily a top 10 pick if he's healthy. Like, he is, because, I mean, he can do everything. You know, maybe there are concerns about how strong he can get, how great he can be at getting to the net. But, I mean, he has everything else. And the other thing, too, that I know a lot of people aren't talking about, but he's actually young for his class as well. So he's actually more of a junior, like sophomore-ish junior, somewhere in that range. I'm not sure on his age offhand. But so it's not like they're drafting
him. Yeah, I do remember reading that, though. He's a young junior.
Mm-hmm. So they're not drafting, you know, a typical 4-year senior either. So you have that kind of extra bonus. It's just the injury, you know, and the Nets clearly had the inside information regarding his health, or at least the best info you're going to get. And, you know, you can't fault the pick, you know, if they have that information and that's what they're being provided with. I don't know how you could go against it. I mean, he has insane talent. And frankly, like, even at 20, I think he's a bargain if he's healthy and he can play, obviously. But I like the pick. I think he was deserving to go there. You know, and now the question will just be, you know, how fast can he heal? How fast can he develop? Because I do think he has a lot of potential once he starts to make his impact at the next level. But but with him, let's jump into our second round picks here. Let's start with Deonte Davis, widely projected as a lottery pick. Some people, I think, even had him in the top 10, and he falls out of the first round gets picked by the Grizzlies at 31. How shocked were you to see him drop this far?
And not only was I shocked to see him drop that far, going back to Karis, I was surprised that Karis LeVert went before Deontay Davis. I mean, you take a Big Ten guy who barely played any games, goes 20. You take a guy, even though Deontay Davis didn't average a ton of minutes this year, I mean, that was kind of just a product of the logjam they had at Michigan State. It really wasn't any fault of his own. And you know, he slips all the way down past the first round. But really, when Davis came out, I know personally, I just kind of thought he was a guy who I didn't really think was going to declare, just because he didn't get a lot of time. And like I said, that wasn't his fault really, but you know, I thought he definitely could have benefited. I know he was a highly regarded, you know, prospect coming out of high school, but he didn't really get that time on the court on a very experienced Michigan State team. So to see him come out, I was surprised. And then when all these mock drafts were coming out and had him, you know, top 10, top 15, I saw some that even had him top 5 or, you know, in the top 5 best players available, but going in the top 10, what be it. You know, I was really shocked to see that, saying, yeah, obviously they're, you know, it's all projecting off potential. And yeah, he has great potential as a player. He could be a star and one of the best players out of this draft taken in the second round for all we know. But, you know, for what we saw on the court at Michigan State, we didn't see a whole lot. I mean, if he was producing at a first round level, he probably would have seen more minutes and he would have worked his way out of that logjam in Tom Izzo's rotation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it really surprised me to see him drop that far, I guess, to start out. because, you know, when you have a guy projected as a lottery pick, to fall to the second round is pretty massive. It's not unprecedented, obviously, but it's not something you see very often. However, I mean, the big question you're going to get now, and certainly from the Spartan fan base, is going to be, oh, well, did he make the right decision? Should he have come back so he could have got drafted higher? I think you have to wonder that. And it's something I think we can get into in a little more detail later and talk about it with, you know, some of the guys who didn't get picked at all. But, you know, if you're Davis, as we talked about, you're not going to get cut. You're going to make a roster. Even if Memphis doesn't want you, they will trade you to somewhere else because there is a team that wants Deontay Davis. I'll say that. One of the things that I do wonder if it hurt him, which, you know, I don't want to get too far into this again because you get too much in the NBA stuff, which is kind of its own world. But he didn't work out for a lot of people, at least from what I was reading and what I saw. I could be wrong. I know he was at the combine and stuff, but a lot of times you see this with these top guys where they don't work out for a lot of teams, thinking that they're going to be drafted by, you know, like one of the top 5 teams or something. And once they like miss that group of teams, they haven't worked out for anybody. So nobody wants to take them because they don't know how good they are. Doesn't always happen that way, but you know, I do wonder if he would have worked out for more of the lower teams, which, you know, maybe he did work out for some of those teams and I just didn't see it, but I do wonder if that would have sort of eased the fall and he would have gone in the 20s instead of going 31st to Memphis. But overall, you know, he has the raw skill set to be a really good player in the NBA. It's going to be a concern because he's not even close to his full potential. You know, how much he improves. I know, you know, he's a local kid out of Michigan. I know he worked really hard to develop and get to Michigan State and do what he did there. But, you know, it's going to be a tough road ahead for him. You know, certainly not with all of the extra perks of being a lottery pick. But, you know, Memphis, they've developed a lot of good big men if he does end up staying there. Maybe he'll be the next one in the chain. But, yeah, let's hit on a couple of these other ones real quick. I personally don't think there's a lot to make of these guys. All three were projected to get drafted in the near the middle to – well, they were projected in the second round, I guess I'll just say. Jake Layman gets drafted by Portland. Diamond Stone gets drafted – well, I should start with Stone, I guess. Stone gets drafted by the Clippers at 40. Hammonds get drafted by Dallas at 46. and then Layman gets drafted at 47 by Portland. Any big thoughts on these three? Or are they all just kind of in the same boat where they're just going to have to prove their worth over the summer league?
Yeah. I touched on Stone a little bit earlier. Like I said, I thought he was a guy who could have been at the end of the first round, definitely talented, maybe could have benefited from another year in college, but a lot of these freshman guys could. That's just kind of the nature of the one and done. As far as A.J. Hammonds goes, I know you touched on him a little bit earlier. Kind of disappointed to see such a dominant college player, in a big-time conference go this low. But for Hammonds, with me just as a player, and not to bash on the guy too much, but, you know, there were times for me where he just disappeared a bit on the court, looked like he didn't want to be there, or, you know, there were laziness issues to me, it seemed like. And, you know, I've never met the guy. I don't want to judge the guy's work ethic. But, you know, there were just times where it seemed like he wasn't reaching his full potential on the court, and there were other times where it looked like he was exceeding his full potential on the court. So if he is that full potential player for Dallas, he's going to be a steal in the second round. But if he is a guy who disappears in stretches, he's going to be a guy who's going to get, you know, lost in the D League. And, you know, we may not hear about him for, you know, he might just be one of the greatest, Boilermaker basketball players, and that's it. And same for Lehman, just a guy who is projected second round, guy who's going to have to work his way up through the D League, going to have to play really well in summer league. And, you know, he's probably not going to get cut, but his path to the NBA is going to be a little more difficult, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things, again, just to stress, I hate to keep berating this point here, but, there's not a lot of big-time elite talent in the second round. That's just, I know Draymond Green did it a couple years ago, but he is very much the exception to the rule. Usually, I mean, there are 30 second-round picks, and the vast majority aren't even in the NBA a couple years down the road. You know, it's a tough spot because the NBA rosters are just, frankly, so small. It's tough to make the cut. But I think A.J. Hammonds has a good route. And the reason I think that is because he has such a high floor. I think he's going to come in ready from day one. I think he'll be able to step into a team and not be a star or anything, but I think he's going to provide valuable bench minutes from day one, which, you know, a lot of these guys can't do. You know, we were talking about Davis. Davis is not ready for the NBA from day one. You know, maybe he gets there by the start of the season, I guess. But, if he's like how he was, you know, in March of last season or anything close to that, he's not going to be ready. He's probably a year or two away from being a potential impact player. Now, granted, his ceiling is much higher and he has the chance to become a legitimate star, but A.J. Hammonds is going to be a solid role player. I think he can be a solid role player right away. I'm obviously higher on Hammonds than a lot of people, but I just think when you have a guy that's that big, he has that kind of shot blocking ability, he can rebound the basketball, and he does have some ability, some offensive post game. I just think, you know, teams are going to need a backup big man, and if you can get a guy with the size of him, it's going to be useful. But yeah, so I'll drop it at that. But I think he's going to make a roster this year. Oh, go ahead.
No, sorry. No, I was just going to say you are definitely higher on Hammonds than I am. Definitely higher than a lot of people. But not to bash Hammonds in any way. Like I said, if he lives up to his full potential, he will be everything you said and even more. Just based on size, I think he has a little bit more offensive ability than people give him credit for. But like I said, there were just stretches where he disappeared. And you know, Purdue is a tough team to, you know, get minutes on as a big man with Haas and with Swanigan on that team. So, you know, it was definitely a team where post minutes were scarce and post touches were scarce. And, you know, for him to be as dominant as he was even last season, but, you know, throughout his entire career before those guys were there too, it's nothing, you know, it's not no small feat there. So, Hammonds definitely is a could be an underrated player, but yeah, I think you might be just a tad bit higher on him than I am.
Well, I mean, I guess the reason why I'm so high on him is just because I'm just not as sold. You know, a lot of people in the NBA draft are always, you know, oh, you got to draft on potential. You got to draft this guy, his upside. But I understand, you know, drafting is difficult. If it was easy, you know, every team would be awesome. You know, if it was that easy, everyone would always have the perfect pick. It's not easy. But I think sometimes people, you know, in the second round, and this is the point I'm trying to make, is that if you're drafting on potential in the second round, like, to me, if you're a team, unless you have a drastic need that you just have to fill, your second round pick should be one of two things. Number one, a guy like Hammonds, he's played 4 years in college, he's good to go, you know he can compete against high-level competition, and you know what he will provide from day one. Or just a complete shot in the dark, like a guy like LeVert who was injured. Otherwise, he'd be a way higher pick. Otherwise, I mean, if you're just taking a so-so guy who could get he could get better, but he probably won't. I mean, what's the point? I mean, he's a second-round pick. His ceiling, like, can't be that high. At least, this is just my perspective, I know. But I just think from a team perspective, a guy like Hammonds is a great value pick because most of these guys in the second round are probably going to make little to no impact 2 or 3 years down the line. And I don't want to talk them down, you know. I'm sure, you know, them and their families were super excited last night. But, you know, it's just the harsh reality. And I think Hammonds is a guy who I would not be shocked if he played, if he had a relatively long career in the NBA just because of his size and his shot blocking ability. I think that is good enough to get him onto a roster. But we'll see. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if I was wrong either, but
it's almost like the guys in the second round, anything that you get out of them is almost like bonus, right? You really mm-hmm. strive for that first round hit, and you really don't want to, I guess it's a bad way to look at it, you really don't want to mess up that first round pick, but you really want to succeed with that first round pick. And then anything you get out of the second round, if you get any production, if you get any bench minutes, if you get any developmental abilities in the second round, it's almost like a bonus there where, you know, if your first round pick doesn't go well and your second round pick does, then it's almost like a safety net.
Oh yeah, I agree. And that's one of the things where it's like, to me, a proven commodity like Hammonds in the second round is just great because, you know, so many of these picks, you look at the guy and you're like, well, if things go right and he plays in the D League for a couple of years, you know, maybe he can earn a roster spot. Like,
yeah,
I mean, what are we actually drafting, you know? But yeah. A guy like Hammonds, it's like, he is better than some, at least, again, this is my opinion, I think he's better than some backup NBA centers right now.
Wow.
But I'll leave that debate for another day, I guess. But, I guess the last one I haven't hit on the other two Maryland Terp guys drafted in the second round, Stone to the Clippers, Lehman to Portland. I agree. I think Stone is definitely going to make the roster. Certainly the Clippers. You know, if you follow the NBA closely at all, they have a horrible cap situation. They're going to need like every draft pick to go on their team just because they can't afford free agents. Unless they've somehow fixed the problem in the last couple months. So, I mean, I would expect he will play a role because they just need cheap players behind the stars over there in L.A. Jake Lehman, I think he's going to have a tough road. I agree. I think he's probably going to have to earn his way in the summer league and in the D league. I'm not sure if Portland has offered him yet, but or how that – if they're actually going to sign him to the roster, but it'll be a tough road for him. But I think he certainly has a fighting chance. I mean, he wouldn't have been drafted 47 if not. But with that, why don't we jump into a couple of the guys who did not get drafted? I'm trying to think offhand here on all the guys who didn't get picked. There are four that pop into mind, and those players are Robert Carter from Maryland, Jared Utah from Iowa, and then the two Hoosiers, Yogi Ferrell and Troy Williams. Let's start with Do you think any of these four guys should have been drafted? And then off of that, do you think any of them are actually going to make a roster and make a potential impact down the road?
Well, I mean, we watch a lot of Big Ten basketball. I think all these guys should have been drafted, but, you know, it like you said, it's tough to get drafted. What are you really drafting in the second round to take one of these guys when you could just go ahead and, you know, some of these guys are going to sign as undrafted free agents? I know I was just working on a piece. I know for sure two of these guys that you mentioned have reportedly signed with teams. So, you know, their hoop careers are not over by any means. It's just a little more of a difficult path. And some guys have done it. You know, these guys are definitely all four. These guys are talented players and some of the Big Ten's best. And the Big Ten is no slouch of a conference. So, you know, I could see any real four of these guys making a roster. Farrell, for sure. Just based off athleticism and ball handling. I know size is not his virtue, but, you know, he's one of the Big Ten's best ball handlers and most athletic players. And same thing with Troy Williams, is a crazy athlete who does have the size and the length. You know, Utah can shoot the lights out. So, you know, they all have attributes that they're strong at, but they just aren't the complete package that, you know, that would earn them a draft spot, but does not mean they can't earn, you know, a 15th man, a 12th man kind of spot in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And for sure, these guys could project to be in the D League somewhere, definitely in next season.
Yeah, I mean, to start off with, all four of these guys will be playing in the summer league this summer, mm-hmm. and they'll all get their opportunity. I mean, it's everybody, you know, my cousin will be in the summer league this year. I as a side note, I love summer league basketball. I always rant about this, but it's really fun in the summer to watch those guys.
Yeah.
And some of the old
watch
Big Ten guys
who gyms that look like, you know, look like your high school gym. You wonder where the teams are actually located, and you got one camera angle on NBA TV. You gotta love it.
And I mean, the thing I love about it too is that you get the college guys who are like college stars, but they haven't made it in the NBA, and they like come back and you're like, oh yeah, I forgot about that guy.
Yeah.
He starts falling out and you're like, oh man, like he might actually make a team. But all four of these guys will play, and that's the beautiful thing is that everybody gets their chance because the summer league teams will add basically anyone. So, I mean, mm-hmm. they're going to get their chance to prove themselves on the court. As far as do I think anyone should have been drafted, I think Utah should have been. I think he has been criminally underrated from the start of this draft process. Not to say he's a perfect player, but it just shocks me, you know, when you have – like if you watched his college career, which obviously, you know, we both have, but, I mean, the guy had such a great skill set. You know, he doesn't have elite athleticism. He'll never be able to do that, but I mean, the guy has a great shot. He can drive. He was great at finding teammates, and he's a quality rebounder, and he can block shots too. So, I mean, I think he has a good skill set, and I think he deserved a spot. But so I guess that answers the second question. I think he has the best shot of making a roster just because of that. The second one, I think Carter as well. I think he has a raw skill set a lot of guys don't have. His combination of size and athleticism and post moves, I think will earn him a lot of attention. I believe he already signed a deal with Golden State, at least for the summer.
Yep.
You know, again,
yep.
We'll see if he makes the team. I know that Golden State obviously has a lot of good players. So
that's not an easy team to make.
Yeah, so making them could be a little difficult, but I wouldn't be shocked to see him get into the D League and then picked up out of the D League relatively soon. The only other point I wanted to hit on is Yogi Ferrell. This is my personal opinion. I don't have any inside, you know, source on this or anything, but I think he's going to play overseas. And the reason I say that is because I understand, you know, he has a good handle. I think he's good enough that he could get himself onto an NBA roster, but I think he would be like the last guy, you know, that last spot on the team. And I think he's going to be one of those guys where he keeps getting up, down, up, like, and what I'm saying is like demoted to the D League, brought back, demoted to, and I think for him, and on the side note of that, I don't think he projects in that situation for a long NBA career.
No.
So I think he'll just say, you know what, I'm just going to play overseas, make my money, you know, however long I want to play, and come back and, you know, coach or work in business or, you know, whatever he wants to do after that. But that's my opinion. I think that would be the smarter decision for him, unless he really thinks he can make a team, which, you know, he may do in the summer league. You know, we'll see how he performs. But overall,
Farrell was a guy. Sorry to cut you off. Farrell was a guy. He signed with Brooklyn, right? So he's going to go join LeVert and a team who also drafted Isaiah Whitehead. So, you know, this is a team that's looking for guards. You know, not to get too deep into the roster. I know they had Jared Jack, who's, you know, they're not sure if he's going to return. This is a team who's not in a win now mode, and a team who has a shortage of guards. So, you know, is Farrell going to make an impact on the Brooklyn Nets next season? I would venture to say no. But could he be on the roster? There's a possibility. Could he see the, you know, the situation, almost a long-term building plan, and say, you know, if I'm not on the roster and I make their D-League team, you know, well, could I stick around? Because, you know, this is a team that's going to build and is young and, you know, may not be, you know, very good for a number of years, and I have, you know, I will have more opportunities to make the roster. You know, I could see that, but to your point, you know, very, very easily could play in Europe. The reason that basketball is a great sport is because there's so many opportunities outside of the NBA to make money, and you can, you know, you can go and play in so many places, so many countries, still make a good living playing this. You know, a lot of guys have gone overseas and done it, so Farrell is gonna keep playing, whether it be in the D League, at the end of an NBA bench, overseas, wherever it may be. But definitely a possibility, I think, for him to stick around at least for a couple years.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think, like I said, I think he has the potential to kind of earn that last roster spot on a team. It's just one of those things where, to me, unless he has a firm guarantee that, hey, you know, we're going to keep you out, like you're a serious option to earn a roster spot, I think he will opt to go overseas, but we'll see, you know, who knows. But with that, I wanted to spin off and kind of one last bigger, broader topic here. The Big Ten had a handful of guys who declared early, meaning that they were not seniors. They hadn't used all their eligibility. You know, Deontay Davis was one, Diamond Stone was one, Robert Carter and Troy Williams. So you have four guys. I don't think I'm missing anyone, but you had four guys who all declared early for the NBA draft. Two of them got selected in the second round, and two of them went undrafted. First off, did they make the right decision? Second off, is this kind of – do you think this will scare people off in the future? Or, I mean, is it a case-by-case? Or is there any broader takeaway, I guess, from these decisions?
I don't know if there's a broader takeaway. First of all, if there was one, I don't think it's going to scare people away. Just because, I mean, I think it's fair to say that I am not and never have been a premium athlete. Okay. I was never a, you know, top flight future professional athlete talent, but I can imagine when you are, or, you know, when you're a college player and a primetime college player, all these guys probably think that they are the best, whether they are or whether they aren't. So, you know, it's really tough for a guy who is the star at his school to not want that NBA dream. And a lot of these guys who are stars at a school, Yogi Ferrell is a great example. I mean, not to say that Yogi Ferrell has a big head. This is not what I'm saying. I'm not saying he has a big head and he thinks he's the greatest and whatnot. That's not what I'm getting at. But Yogi Ferrell was one of the best players in the Big Ten, and one of the best players at Indiana. But his game just doesn't exactly profile to be a top level talent in the NBA. But it's really hard to see that sometimes, and to see that your game may not transition. And for every story of the Troy Williams who declares as a junior and doesn't get drafted, there's a story of, you know, Ben Simmons who comes out as a freshman and gets taken first overall. So do I think that these guys are going to shy away from it? Probably not, because I think almost all these guys think they're Ben Simmons, whether they are or aren't, is, you know, that's neither here nor there. But I don't think it's gonna you know, shy anybody away from coming out early. Did they make the right decision? Possibly. You know, Deontay Davis could, like you said, could still be a talent in the second round, and you know, for to all accounts, he was a first rounder up until before last night. I mean, it was almost unanimous that that's what was going to happen. I mean, everybody thought it was going to happen. So, you know, to say that they made the right or wrong decision is yet to be determined. But even if they don't become NBA talents, did one or two or three more years in college, would that have helped them? You know, some might say if they're not an NBA talent now, they won't be next year or 2 years or 3 years from now. So it's kind of tough to say, were they right and were they wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't think this is going to scare off the guys like Deontay Davis, where, you know, they're projected to be a lottery pick. Because, you know, if you're projected to go that high, just go.
Yeah, but, pretty simple.
Yeah, but I think, you know, as far as whether these were the right or wrong decisions, you know, a guy like Troy Williams, I think he made the quote-unquote right decision just because I don't know how much better he could have gotten. I don't know how much it would have helped his chances. So I think for him it's about, you know, taking a shot now, and whether it's, you know, trying the NBA or going overseas or whatever, you know, earning his living, you know, starting now. But, you know, a guy like Davis, to me, he's the one where you really, you know, kind of scratch your head and think, wow, you know, if he had come back, played on what should be a very good Michigan State team, and really the only area of need that they have is center for next year. You know, they're a potential Final Four national championship contender if Davis is back. So I think you do kind of wonder, wow, you know, if he came back, they go to the Final Four, you know, potentially win the national title, then he declares, does he slip to, you know, the second round? Probably not, but he's also going to make, you know, probably what, hundreds and hundreds of thousands, close to $1 million this year, I would guess. I mean, at the same time, you know, I think it's hard to say, wow, you know, maybe he should have come back to get drafted higher, unless he has, you know, unless he signs one deal and never does anything and then leaves the league. That's the only scenario I could see where it was a mistake. But otherwise, you know, it's hard to argue with that much money. I'll just say that. But yeah, overall though, I think it was a decent night for the Big Ten. You know, as we mentioned, I think it could have been better, certainly, but the Big Ten will certainly have some guys on next year's rosters, you know, Valentine and LeVert setting up to be potentially team building pieces. We'll kind of see what Chicago and Brooklyn do. Neither have been the greatest in the last couple of years, but
no.
both should have some hope to build on, I guess, in the coming years. But other than that, any final thoughts here as we wrap up our NBA chat?
Just excited to keep things rolling on BT Powerhouse. I know I got a couple things that we're working on. We're getting back into our regular schedule here, so excited to see that going, and counting down the days till college basketball season.
yeah, cannot wait for the fall. You know, college football, college basketball. It's gonna be great. So looking forward to that. But Ryan, thanks for coming on and joining us today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. As a reminder to everyone, that was Ryan Blevins. He's a writer on BT Powerhouse. I believe he has a couple pieces up on the front page right now. And speaking of that, we have a ton of NBA draft coverage right now all across our site. If you are interested in any player who's been drafted, or I think we have profiles on most of the guys who even weren't drafted, but will probably be on summer league teams, I encourage you to go check out the site. I think there's a lot of stuff worth checking out. But other than that, everyone, enjoy your weekends. I'll be working on getting my hearing back from Guns N' Roses last night. But other than that, again, my name is Thomas Bendit. You can check me out on Twitter @TBendit, and we'll look forward to the next podcast here.